Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I don't know, but it seems that the sound is richer and fuller. That's so I like that, but changed? No, I still stand up at the sink and eat ice cream, so it has, and I still watch TV that way.
Right.
That's what I do. What do you think about being able to control music with your voice? I like that idea because I can say to Alexa, Alexa, play the Beach Boys.
And play it loud.
Yeah. And I'll let her play it the way she wants to at first, and I'll say a little bit louder, please, and a little bit louder now.
Hey.
And a little bit louder now. And a little
Shout.
Bit louder now.
Shout. The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. For those of you not in the studio, you don't know that we just wasted 10 minutes because of a computer problem, and we reset the board to zero. On Mondays and Fridays, when I go to the gym, it is important that I don't waste 10 minutes of downtime on computers, which is why I say, could we start the computers first thing and not right before we do the show? Because on Mondays, this is like the CTE on kickoffs, where it is five times more likely on a kickoff to get a concussion than in any other play in football. It is 25 times more likely on a Monday for there to be a problem, and now I've expiated my anger at that, and we can move on. Leon Harris is here, Crystal Liz is here, Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board, go back to zero, and do the news.
Your mistake is turning the computer off in the first place.
It should
always run.
Okay,
it's not,
I don't
never
do
try.
I don't know where the
That's
computer
your mistake.
Is. We're at Chatter. Some people are here for breakfast. Thank you so much. We're at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Streets Northwest. We are full service. We are for profit. Our brickwork is done. The restaurant
Looks
can
good.
Be accessed from either of the two main brick entree points. You can do that. Before we get to the show itself, Andy Shaner from Madison, Wisconsin is here and has brought me Monkey's socks, which is very good. Oh, wow. And he writes, I'm a 16 loyal little back to the ESPN days. I don't know what Andy, what do you mean you're 16?
16 years.
It doesn't
say that.
Forgot that
critical word.
I actually visited the old place on Rockville a few years ago, but this is my first pilgrimage to Chatter. I brought my brother Matt from St. Louis, who's also a doctor. He's here. Not a big deal Hof Waff doctor, just a regular old family practice MD, which means if anybody gets sick right now, we're covered. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage also came along. She does not listen to the show. She's just here for the mimosas. It would be great if you could give a shout-out to our youngest brother, Eric. He just started listening to the show last year and was supposed to be here, but he decided to sell his house instead. Something about interest rates, mortgages, thousands and thousands of dollars, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, if you can, wish him congratulations on the newest house and his newest little effeminate child, six-month-old Evelyn. We're having a wonderful time in D.C. Saw the O's on Saturday, the Nats on Sunday. Did you know this is the only weekend on the calendar where both teams are playing at home? No, I did not know that. Also, please accept this hosiery adorned with chimpanzees wearing suits as gratitude for the years of laughter. I am very grateful for that.
Baltimore had a team.
There was one other thing that we got. We got cheese doodles from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
From Greg Boersma in Minneapolis. Dear Grandpa, this is my third trip to Chatter. Is Greg here now? Greg, not here now.
Sad.
So I thought I should bring something for the crew. Last week you mentioned Wilbon you'd like to be coated in orange Cheetos dust. These cheese puffs are from Earl's, a Minnesota snack food maker. I find
Earl's
them lighter
fashioned.
And cheesier than Cheetos. Enjoy and try to not get any more orange than you are. Maybe the wine tyrant can pair these with a robust red. Just finished my Coach Williams burger off to La Cheeserie. So that's very nice. We have those. Some of the people in the stands got those, yes.
He laughs at Liz, but we eat baked Cheetos at home.
That's great.
What?
They are lighter.
Yeah. Those are... You can eat 25 of those for 170 calories.
I wouldn't know eat the entire bag.
I may go ahead and do that.
And I just have a small announcement yes. to little Robert Swartz.
From Ohio?
Is that Lil or Lidl?
I'm not sure where he's from because he sent us in to sign something.
Oh.
And yet he failed to put his actual address
so
on
that,
it.
I think he's from Ohio, but that doesn't do us any good.
No, so Robert.
So if you listen, just call us or email us.
Email us and tell us, you know.
Call us on the
311.
On
no,
the Mike
just
Slocum
drop it in the mailbox.
Line.
Just put yeah. Ohio Mike's on the mail. Just put Ohio on the envelope. We all know each other.
Exactly. Everybody, I'm sure it'll get there fine.
Speaking
there.
Of which, Leon is from Ohio. So yesterday had to be a frightening moment for Leon. And the only, we'll get to Wilbon in a little bit, but the only sports story of consequence yesterday was LeBron James playing in a Game 7, maybe for the first time in a first-round series, I'm not sure about that, having the typical LeBron James game because he's the best player in the world. But
unbelievable.
I will say this, that Kevin and I, Sheehan and I, were out on the golf course, and Kevin was monitoring the game on his phone. And both Kevin and I felt that, and I don't think Toronto can beat Cleveland. I don't.
You don't?
But I thought Indiana could. I thought Indiana could because Indiana was close with them every single game in Cleveland. And when Cleveland went out to a lead early, both Kevin and I said, just wait a little while. And that lead evaporated. You watched
that. Same thing happened yesterday. It evaporated in the fourth quarter.
So as a proud son of Akron, how did you feel during that game?
I felt, you know, I didn't feel confident, really. Until the end, even when they were up by 14 at one point, I thought, you know, this is gonna come back. And then LeBron goes out with cramps, and they're thinking,
out with cramps, refuses IV.
Yeah, but at that point, we're thinking, okay, I'm sitting there watching because he went 7-for-7 in the first couple of minutes, first 5 minutes.
Because he's the best player.
He's insane.
So you people who think there's a better player than LeBron, you really don't understand because there isn't.
But it was the first time the bench actually stepped up, and when he walked off the floor, I'm thinking, okay, it's over with.
Done.
He comes back with a bigger lead.
Yes.
And that's when I thought, okay, you know what?
Yes.
These
George
guys are
Hill
actually do it.
And Kevin Love and Tristan
Love,
Thompson.
Tristan Thompson.
Tristan
actually
Thompson
showed up.
Back from semi-marital woes. Or whatever.
Well, I would say that's full-on marital woes.
You know, what does he do? They're not actually married. No. Whatever they are.
But it was the first time
Would you get involved with a Kardashian? Why?
It always works out so well. CC Chris
so,
Humphries.
How did you feel during watching the game?
Well,
nervous?
He played, first of all, he played like Tristan Thompson, not like Tristan Kardashian.
Right.
So he actually showed up. And
for the first time in a while.
When he got that block, I said, that's it. When he got that block and then launched it to like the third row, I said, okay, finally, this time around, that was the first moment I felt like, okay, they got this thing. But they always find a way to make it frustrating and make you think they're not going to get it. So
you know, every single year, LeBron James goes to management and says, the following people aren't good enough for me, bring other people in. Mm-hmm. And every year they bring him in. Most years, he gets more help than this year.
Not this year. And they had a wholesale swap
play
of the entire team damn near.
Yes, four guys out.
Yeah, and
three guys in.
Yep. And George Hill had been limited by back spasms.
Have you seen the play where he went out a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was? Yeah. He is being backed into an Indiana screen, maybe game one or something like that. And the Indiana player reaches out and takes his elbow and smashes Hill right in the spleen. And Hill goes right down. And any Indiana guy, they call a foul. They go, what, me?
I love
that. Yes, you. Not only is it a foul, you should be thrown out of the league. Yeah.
It's a minor felony.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I tell you one thing. This series was the Victor Oladipo coming out party.
Except in the games they lost, other than yesterday, Oladipo was terrible.
But yesterday,
he's great.
He manned up yesterday. I got to give him credit.
He's
the one that, local boy here. He actually scared me yesterday because when LeBron went out, I'm thinking, okay, here's where Oladipo takes over. And, you know, they basically held serve.
So you're certainly more skeptical than I am about their chances against Toronto.
I'm sorry. Toronto scares me.
Why?
Toronto scares me.
The Wizards should have beaten. The Wizards have no guts. But the Wizards, and by the way, someone tell John Wall on your exit interview, shut up.
Oh, it's our house.
Oh, please.
It's our house.
You know,
we
need this and
10.
We need that. And a lot of guys on this team, they're not committed.
They got to blow this thing up.
Stop it.
They got to blow this thing up.
That's exactly what I think. But I thought they were better than Toronto. Toronto, who up front in Toronto scares you?
No, but here's the thing. You can't judge them by the Wizards because the Wizards always play up or down to their competition. They play great against good teams. So Toronto actually is a legitimately good team, and they play well against them. So
But I'm just – I mean, we'll talk to Wilbon about this, but I'm saying that Toronto's front court is nothing. Cleveland's front court is significantly better even with the problems that they have, I think.
Yeah.
I do. I don't think Toronto's a threat to Cleveland. Indiana was.
Yeah, but Toronto's.
I think Philadelphia is.
It's not their front court I'm concerned about. It's their bench. Their bench actually performs.
Yes.
They got a good bench.
Good.
And Cleveland doesn't.
Yeah.
I actually think that, think about it. They won by four, right, Leon? Four or six.
Close. Something like that, 4-6.
They won by 4-6 at home. With LeBron scoring 45, and he had...
Which is what he did on all the home games.
In 43 minutes.
I know he's LeBron, but he has to do that. The games that they won, he had 40-plus. He had double-digit rebounds, and he had close... I mean, basically had a triple-double, very close to a triple-double with 40-plus points. Can he do that for another four... I'm skeptical.
The NBA,
They do not have... That team is not...
particularly good. I mean, no. Kevin Love had 13 points. He just waits on the three-point line. He was like one of the 20 best players 5 years ago. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But they don't have anything.
But see, that's the reason why.
It's amazing that they won that
series. They have this one guy.
Yeah, they got the one guy who's better than 10 people.
And that's why this stretch may cement him in a position that, and I'm going to say something I probably would never have said before.
Don't say it when Wilbon can hear
that. MJ,
that will
baby.
Cement him either above Michael.
No,
if he gets this team past the next level,
he's got three rings.
Michael has never
six.
No Michael Magic. Neither one of them has ever gotten a team with less right. further.
Oh, you don't honestly think that even if he got to the finals, he could beat either Houston or Golden State?
No, I don't think that.
So you got to win.
But I think if he gets there, just getting there is an accomplishment.
It's the third paragraph. The first paragraph is Michael Jordan has six. And LeBron has three.
Yeah, but he has six
moment.
With a heck of a lot more help than LeBron's got right now.
LeBron is a great player. In other NBA news,
name somebody who's done more with less. Can you name anybody who's done more with the kind of help he's got at this particular point?
I will go back in time and tell you that there are a couple of people. Rick Barry is one of them. Rick Barry had a Golden State team that had nobody around them, and they won a couple of championships, and he averaged 40 points.
Yeah.
See what you're saying, Chris?
Yeah.
Great players, Rick Barry, Jerry West. I believe Kevin Durant can do this too. I believe that really great players can get you what you need.
Well, Kevin Durant didn't do it in Oklahoma City.
No, because he had Westbrook on the team.
He couldn't get the ball.
He didn't have the ball enough. But last year, and they're a great team. Last year, Kevin Durant was spectacular.
I'm trying to find. I just want to see if I can find. Okay, so here is LeBron last three games. 43 minutes. On Sunday, 45 points, 16 for 25 from the field, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals. He only played 31 minutes in the previous game because it was a blowout. Then the last game they won, 42 minutes, 44 points, 14 for 24 from the field, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. I mean, it's just stunning.
He's a great player.
Those numbers are... And he's 33? Yeah. Is he 33?
He's closer,
yes.
He's closer to the end. Think about that. Look at those numbers and consider the fact he's closer to the end.
The tread on his tires is very thin. Because he plays a lot of minutes.
He played 43 minutes yesterday with 45 points.
The other two series that are active yesterday, nothing.
No.
Houston
blowout.
Houston far better than Utah. Utah happy to be there. Utah's not going to win any games. They're going to win one game at the most. They're just happy to be there. New Orleans has no business being there with Golden State, even without Steph Curry. They don't.
Yeah.
And the two Western series are meaningless till we get to the one everybody wants to see, which is Houston and Golden State.
Right.
And if Curry is not healthy, well, I was going to say Houston can't win because I'm so used to seeing James Harden on his knees looking for his mouthpiece. But
he looked pretty good yesterday,
but
Tom.
I'm talking about against Golden State.
Yeah, you just said a second ago that Kevin Durant is the kind of guy that is just transformative, and he can actually carry that team past them.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you have on Golden State, you have a guy who handles the ball who's, much like LeBron, very, very big against guards. Mm-hmm. You've got Paul and Harden. I would bet Golden State. Okay.
You think the Sixers will roll right through Boston, right?
No, because the coach on Boston
is not good. He's good.
Yeah. He's great.
But another guy went down, Jaylen Brown.
I understand. That's for one game. That's
they
for
don't
one
have
game.
Much. I mean, their two best guys are 19 and 20.
You know
Tatum
what,
and
you
Jaylen
know what
Brown.
They've got that Philadelphia doesn't have, to my mind, at the moment? Philadelphia with Embiid. Embiid sort of thinks he's above the law, and maybe he is.
Right.
Maybe he is because he's very entertaining. Boston has a team that says, you know what? Without this guy on the bench, we're not that good. Why don't we listen to him for a little while?
Yeah, right.
And Brad Stevens seems to be.
He's great. Yeah.
He's the real deal.
He seems to be a guy. Look, a lot of people can coach. Not everybody, a lot of players refuse to be coached.
Mm-hmm. True.
It seems that Boston's players allow themselves to be coached.
Yes.
So we'll take a break. Wilbon will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brook Linen ad. I like these sheets. I have these sheets. I think they're very, very good. They want me to talk about the new bedding you discovered. I'm not Christopher Columbus. I didn't discover them. Brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference on how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com, the best, most comfortable sheets without a big markup. You upgrade your nightly routine. It helps you feel more rested every day. The company was founded in April 2014 by the husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich Fulop. Their philosophy was the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials and no crazy prices. No unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding, which I didn't know, is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews. And in case you wondered who won the best of online bedding category in Good Housekeeping, Brooklinen did. They have versatile colors and patterns. You can mix and match to complement any decor. It's luxury bedding and it's underpriced. Try the sheets today. They're the best, most comfortable sheets I've slept on. They have an exclusive anniversary event happening this week only, starting Thursday, April 26th, running through Tuesday, May 1st. So you have 2 days. You have today, April 30th, and tomorrow, May 1st, to get free shipping and up to 20% off site-wide when you shop at brooklinen.com this week only. They rarely run events like this. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get free shipping and 20% off site-wide is to go to brooklinen.com this week only. Let me spell it for you, B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N, brooklinen.com. They're the best sheets ever.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Johnny sat alone, it was hard to sleep. Johnny's got problems, but Johnny's got big dreams.
This is the band called Hot Pink Hangover. This is a song very uplifting. The Summer That Johnny Drowned. Huh? Everybody likes this.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like
Happy
a sort
Monday.
Of a punk band.
Yeah.
I like beginnings like that.
I really like beginnings like that. I believe out of the state of Minnesota.
Is that right?
Hangover, yes.
Well, that's a Heartland state.
Yes.
Michael Wilbon, a Heartland guy from Chicago. Wilbon joins us now. Okay. This is the second segment of the show. We went in order today. So we discussed at length LeBron at the beginning.
Okay.
And Leon is here, and Leon said, I don't know that I want to go there, but go ahead, Leon. What did you say?
Uh-oh. But if he gets this team, this particular team, to the next level, that
the next level is defined by what to you?
Finals.
The finals.
If he gets this team to the finals.
We know who he is.
LeBron. I think this cements him maybe above Michael.
Whoa! Wilbon!
That puts, because Michael did it.
Michael Cooper?
Michael. I know Wilbon's not gonna agree with me on this. But
it would be his greatest feat.
It would be.
I said that the other night on Sports, and it'd be his greatest feat if he does.
Michael hasn't done this much with this kind of, with this level of help.
Remember, people used to talk about people. Leon, we just forget. We all become to some degree prisoners of now, and we forget that people always got on Jerry Krause about not doing more. People like Tony Kornheiser talked particularly then about how Scottie Pippen was lacking.
It was made by Michael Wilbon in the way that James Worthy was made by Magic Johnson. That's what I've always believed that. I don't think he's lacking. I don't think he's one of the 50 greatest players of all time.
So therefore, what was his team? I mean, his team turned over completely between Horace Grant,
different
and John
two
Paxton,
different teams,
John Paxson, yeah.
and Steve Kerr and Dennis Rodman. I mean, you know, people talked about that then. This would be a monumental feat if LeBron is able to do this. But the fact that LeBron barely did this against the fifth seed Indiana Pacers,
pretty good team though. That matchup, like I believe, matches up better against them than Toronto does.
Yeah,
I believe.
But he did it single-handedly.
He did.
That's the point.
He did it single-handedly. There's no question. He got just barely. Listen, no team has ever won a seven-game series in the history of the NBA and been outscored by 40 points.
It's amazing. Is that right?
Yes. Exactly.
On the aggregate?
You're right.
They just got blown. Every time games they lost, they got blown
they got
out. And the games they won, it was close. Yeah.
Exactly. And obviously, it was an average. The losses were like an average of 13. So
he's a one-man gang.
He's great. I mean, my Mount Rushmore of pro basketball is Russell, Magic, Jordan, and LeBron.
Not the greatest offensive player of all time.
No,
Russell Westbrook.
Winning means
that's right.
Something to me, and I'm convinced by, I don't know, just being around people, basketball people, all the time, that Chamberlain, didn't maximize what it is he had, and he got drummed too often by
a better roster. Team by Bill Russell, who had Hall of Fame players around him.
So did Wilt. Wilt had Tony.
Nah.
He played with West and Baylor. Come on now.
Well, he was old then, and they were old then,
okay,
and they won one.
Even before that, he played with great players,
and only won one
in Philadelphia.
He won a total of two. He won once in Philadelphia with a team that I thought may be the greatest single-year team of all time.
That's 67.
And he won once with the Lakers. I won't get into the Wilt thing because I'm adamant about that. But I will turn this to you because I know how much you respect and love the game of Michael Jordan. And I think that what it comes down to with LeBron is LeBron has three titles and Jordan has six titles. I think LeBron has to get to five, and I don't know that he can get to five. I'm confident he can't get to five in Cleveland. I don't know where he has to go to pick up those other two. But that seems to me the last line of defense for Michael Jordan.
There's other things. First of all, you said, I don't know where he can go. That means he has to link up with other people to get the titles. Jordan did not have to do that. And I'll just tell you one other thing. And I don't ever want it to seem. I just said to me, LeBron James is one of the four greatest players ever. So I don't want people thinking I'm knocking LeBron James. But, Tony, you know, there's a thing now where, you know, so people say, well, who's going to take Anthony Davis? And we talk about how great Kevin Durant is. And you say, well, you got a guy on your team who's one of the five greatest players in the game today. He's going to go down as one of the 15, 20 greatest players of all time, Kevin Durant. Why can't he take Anthony Davis? See, this is what Michael Jordan did.
Yeah.
Every game. Dominique Wilkins, I got him.
Yeah.
Bill Dumars, I got him.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't matter. Name the high school. Dale Ellis, I got him. Gary Payton, give him to me. It is, they don't do that. LeBron doesn't do that. No one does that today. Jordan did it. He's the greatest defensive player other than Bill Russell ever and the greatest all-court defensive player ever. Not spurts, not spectacular highlights of SportsCenter running people down, blocking shots.
Yeah.
The greatest all-court defensive player ever, every night for 15 years.
Yeah, I remember the year he was the leading scorer and also was the defensive player of the year.
Well, I think it's very possible. Yeah. Kevin Durant's 6'11". Now, I don't think that's...
He doesn't guard
anybody, though.
I don't think that's a competitive series. I think that's 4-0 or 4-1.
I think so. I think he could take it. Blowouts.
In other words, if it was a close game in the last 3 minutes of the game, I think you could see Durant on Anthony Davis. Absolutely. Don't you, Mike?
No, you're telling me it's not the same as I got him.
Right, well...
For the whole game.
So if you're going to compare, if you're going to make these comparisons, make them. Go ahead and make them. Because, Tony, the other thing is, I mean, this is... LeBron just played his 82nd game for the first time. Jordan did it like 13 times.
It's a different era.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different era.
It isn't really because Jordan did it in 2003. He played 82 games when he was 40.
Yeah, that was before. And I love Michael Jordan.
That was before Greg Popovich.
That was before Greg Popovich decided he would change the game by resting people. And then rest became very popular with superstars because they said, whoa, if he's resting guys, I want to rest too.
But you know what? These things count to me in these discussions. They count.
That's fair.
We're looking for tiebreakers. I got
that's,
big ones.
That's right. So do we agree that Houston, Utah, and Golden State, New Orleans are non-competitive series? 4-0, 4-1.
I want to see New Orleans one more time, but without Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, it's not competitive.
They have no chance. They don't have much of a chance anyway.
No. So let's move to the East, because Leon and I think, disagree on this, and I'm interested on your vote. I believe Cleveland will have an easier time with Toronto than they had with Indiana, because I don't think anything up front that Toronto has scares anybody on Cleveland. What do you think?
No, they're not going to have an easy time with them because Toronto's better for all the reasons. If you had been on the show Thursday or Friday, I would have crushed you.
Yeah, but I was playing golf with my friends.
After you tell me a bench doesn't matter, a bench decided that series.
That's exactly what I said. Toronto's bench is much better.
Decided the series, Tony.
So are you picking Toronto?
I think so.
Okay.
Because here's the problem. Toronto is, not only matchups can alter the way you think about a series, Toronto is better than they've been. And they didn't roll over for Cleveland before. They went six games. You know, I think so. Look, LeBron is a wondrous dude. He's a, look, when he did this series, Tony, here's something else he did that he doesn't normally do. He went down in the post. He doesn't like to do it.
Repeatedly on Sunday.
He does what he has to do.
He went down. Yeah, but Tony, he had to do it against Golden State, and he didn't do it.
Oh, right. Golden State's much better.
Yeah, Tony,
they're much better.
He beat him. He beat Golden State. They're not much better.
He beat Golden State that one time.
You can't keep saying, they only played three. I mean, people can't keep coming up with excuses. When he goes down in the post, as Jordan did when he was older, as Magic did when he was older, Tony, he can control the game like no one. And so I think if LeBron had gone down in the post, he might have won two of these three series. Because remember, before he had people hurt, not that his team wasn't great, they were injured. But, you know, he can do that maybe against Toronto and affect the series in an entirely, you know, different way.
I think they win that series. What about the other series? You're picking Toronto. That's
remember, they got outscored by 40 by Indiana.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm going the other way.
We have to, you know.
I pick LeBron until somebody beats LeBron. I stand up and say I pick LeBron.
I understand that. And he has earned that.
Yeah. What about Boston, Philadelphia? Boston, Philadelphia.
I think Philly.
Oh, you're not particularly confident in Philly.
You
just think Philly, Tony. The other team. You picked Milwaukee. How'd that go?
I did. I was completely wrong.
Okay. So the point is this: they got two great wing players, two great young wings, and I don't know how the kid from Cal is right now. Jaylen Brown.
He's going to miss one game.
Is he going to miss? Well, if you miss a game, that means you're hurting. So, you know, that works in Philly's favor. Philly just may have the magical mix of players after all these years that it took tanking and gagging to get them. They may have the magical mix of players, Tony.
How much does it count that Boston has a great coach whose players seem to want him to coach them?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's any different than this guy, Brett Brown, who was given a chance, like, in a way. He and Alvin Gentry were allowed by their franchises to stay despite crushing seasons. And their players have responded as well.
Right.
I mean, this guy, Brett Brown, he's got to be a great coach. I mean, he's got to be a great coach for the results he's getting. Tony, they've got the best record in the NBA since February 1st. Mm-hmm. They have the best home record.
Yeah.
They're great on the road.
Surprising.
Surprising. You know, so Philadelphia can get to the finals now. Boston is, I know they're missing their two best players, but remember, they're missing their two best players. And I think it was interesting, Tony, to see if Colangelo would say to himself, listen, I know we're missing two guys, but if we can get Kawhi Leonard, who's better than either of the two guys we're missing?
Right.
Would they do it? I don't think I would touch that team if I'm Danny Ainge. I'm sorry, not Colangelo. If I'm Danny Ainge, I let it ride. And if I'm Philly, I say, you know what? Both these teams in the East. LeBron is no longer, he doesn't have a team that's as good as Philly or Boston, period. They're better.
All right, one last question. I'll get you out of here. Do you think, because I think that it's been overlooked because the playoffs go on. I think it's a colossal failure by Oklahoma City. I think it is an enormous, colossal, bench-clearing failure by Oklahoma City. If you're Billy Donovan, would you jump to the Knicks if they made an offer?
No. Because they're a colossal. No.
I understand they stink, but it's
an irrelevant team.
He's a homeboy. Rockville Center.
Maybe, you know, Tony, that's an interesting thing.
He's a homeboy.
But they got other homeboys who are available who have...
They got Mark Jackson, who's available. Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw Mark yesterday. I didn't even ask him about this. But
he's available.
Tony, Oklahoma City was flawed from the beginning. And I'm going to tell you, as great as he is, and I know Russell Westbrook tried everything. I mean, he reduced his shots. He reduced his shots in the first month of the season from like 26 a game to 17. I mean, he tried everything. So I don't want to make it seem like, well, it's just Russell Westbrook's selfishness did this. No,
not at all. No.
But
it was a failure.
That's a common narrative. Well, Tony, You talk about bench clearing. You can't clear Carmelo Anthony. It's his option. $28 million.
I told you for 3 years he stunk, and well, he's terrible. 3 years,
and he doesn't stink this bad. But he was marginalized. That's what I fear about. You know, when you try to put these teams together with these superstars, a guy gets marginalized. And everybody looks at him and says, well, what's wrong with you? This happened in a different degree, to a different degree, with Chris Bosh. What's wrong with Chris Bosh? Well, two Hall of Famers have the ball, dude.
Doesn't seem to hurt Golden State. Doesn't seem to.
You know, Tony, and that's the magic of Golden State.
Yeah.
And I would say this, that, wow, Durant, Curry, Green,
Thompson.
I mean, they all sacrifice parts of their game. Could you see what Carmelo just said over the weekend?
What he
said. I'm not sacrificed by going to the bench. I'm not doing it. Well, first of all, you may have to do it.
Yeah, this is, you know.
They could tell you to do it. But it sounds to me as if Carmelo's going to have made $250 million as a player by the time he retires. It sounds to me as if Carmelo also is thinking, you know what? I might not make $28 million, but I could make $10 million. And I got a lot of money, and I 12, maybe 14. I can go somewhere else and be happier on a bad team and play and score still 22, 24 points a game.
He's not taking $10 million out of 28. Nobody's doing that. It's $28 million.
Tony, people have done it, and their names are Matt Barnes, and their names are David West.
Yeah, these are not Hall of Famers.
Okay, but
Carmelo's a Hall of Famer.
They weren't marquee names.
Yeah. Those guys don't have the money Carmelo has.
Carmelo is a different. He's a different guy.
$15 million is much more important to David West.
Yeah.
Than it would be to Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo is not a globalist. He's not. Carmelo's going out for him. I'll see you later. You'll be
all
in.
Right,
you're in, right? All right, he's gone. I thought. I will take a break. When we come back, Nigel will have news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Squarespace ad, and much of it now I understand. I think the line of demarcation will be obvious.
All right.
Have you ever thought about starting a blog? Do you have products or services to sell? Maybe you have a business to promote or an upcoming event to announce. Well, a dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it a reality with Squarespace. Squarespace is encouraging folks to make it. Easily create a stunning website by yourself using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. With Squarespace, the power is in your hands to really make your website your own. You can customize the look and feel, the settings, the products, and more with just a few clicks. Now, I'm good to that point.
Right, up till now.
I begin to lose it right around now. Sell anything you want online thanks to Squarespace's powerful e-commerce functionality. Enjoy free and secure hosting. I'm gone at this point.
Right.
Built-in search engine optimization.
No, you
I'm out
SEO.
The door. Yeah. And analytics that help you grow in real time. Now I'm having a sandwich in another place. And with Squarespace, you never have to worry about a glitchy-looking mobile interface,
you do talk
which
about
I'm
a lot.
Fearful of, because everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box.
Has to be.
Keep dreaming, but make it a reality and make it stand out with a website from Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com/TonyK for a free trial. Now I'm back, because it's a free trial. You can do that. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TonyK to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace is spelled as it sounds, SquareSpace.com.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, this is the jazz fusion band Crown Trout. We played
Crown
them.
Trout.
Crown Trout, yes.
Like Mike Trout.
Like Mike Trout, yes. From West
Crown Trout,
West Warwick, Rhode Island. We played these guys.
I know where that is.
Yes, we played these guys a while back. This is a song called "Fetchy La Vache," which means "Throw the Cow."
Isn't it more of a jazz blues?
It's
blues
from, jazz. Blues jazz, yes.
Jazz blues.
"Fetchy La Vache" is the famous line from Monty Python when the French
throw
the cow
right over the parapet.
Yes, yes.
Throw the cow.
Fetchy
Michael,
La Vache.
If great bands, and we've had great bands today, want to give us their music so we can play it on the show, and when the podcast is done, you hear it in its entirety. How do they do that?
They can email it into the show and send it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And are we selling any? T-shirts.
Oh yeah.
We're selling Chatter T-shirts.
Oh, yes.
For the remarkably low price of $12 live here.
$12?
I
hadn't heard that.
From Bernie Fitzgerald in Gilderland, New York, having previously visited Calvert Woodley and Bagel City, I completed the TK pilgrimage on April 16th with breakfast at Chatter. I think the magic of the show is the sense of family it conveys, and the podcast taping did not disappoint. The Bigs were great. Thank you, Tony and Chris, for the photo ops, and the attitude of the Littles is amazing. Thank you to the mother and son who shared their table with us. While she still doesn't quite understand the appeal, my wife was relieved to find out there are other crazy fans like me. I'm actually writing because I left without paying for my T-shirt. I thought it was added to my breakfast bill, but didn't notice it wasn't until I returned home. So I'm enclosing $12.
Nice. Yep.
How great is that?
2 5s, 2 1s.
We had talked about them owing us.
From Bernie Fitzgerald in Gilderland, New York. That is spectacular. Now, we're very grateful.
Cross
we'll
Bernie off the list.
Yeah, we'll tell Luca Brasi not prison. To go visit them.
I just like the idea of the Tony version of the Stations of the Cross. You got the Calvert Woodley Chatter.
That's right.
Bagel City.
Yeah, Bagel City. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
Are we selling anything, Michael, in the website?
Yeah, we have some. The steel tumbler is great now that the weather is finally going to be warm.
Yeah, it's
going to
be nice in Washington this weekend.
Our Hoff Waff code appears to be
active
online and active at Johnny O. So
it's a good time to buy Johnny O stuff because, again, we're getting warmer. Let me mention Tim Gilroy and Jill Medisick, who are the son and daughter-in-law of one of the listeners here today who graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in the same year that a year before I graduated from Harper College, and he knew my friend Stephen Pearsall. Pearsall is one of the guys who was at the Hewlett High School reunion for us. And Stephen listens, and we did not have to. He did not lose enough money that I had to go into the special envelope of his money from last time. He was under the $100 barrier.
That's good.
So I felt very good about that. I'll talk about the Hewlett weekend later. Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off, as we like to do on most days, with the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
The Caps beat the Penguins 4-1, evening up that season at one game apiece.
Okay.
As it moves to Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
So it's 3-1 in the third.
Yes.
Yeah.
With less than 10 minutes to go in the third.
Right.
But what we know about Pittsburgh in the third is they're capable
they
of
quickly.
Three
yeah.
goals.
Right. In 5 minutes.
Because we saw that.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, we're watching out of the corners of our eye as Michael is cooking, right? We're watching this game. Pittsburgh appears to get a goal.
Oh, yeah.
That appears
Crosby,
to be
Crosby's
goal.
Crosby appeared to flush, you know.
What
stuff
happened?
In the
Where
field.
Did
that
go? The reaction by the players tells you that it's a goal. Everybody on the ice thinks it's a goal. This goes to review. It takes far too long for either side, and they end up saying they don't have a definitive look at it, so the call stands. No goal.
Eat it, Lemieux.
Capitals win. Capitals win at that point. Pittsburgh discouraged at that point.
Yes.
I thought it was a goal. Did you?
Thought it was a goal.
Yeah. How does replay get it that wrong?
I mean,
you could see it.
You could see the
inside.
Space between the
you
goal line and the puck.
You could see the white of the ice.
So one point that Barry Svrluga brought up is that sliver of white might actually be ice shavings. It looks like a goal. And what bothers me is the last 10 minutes are played unhinged on both
sides.
Absolutely. And it looked like somebody was going to get severely injured.
I'm not saying Pittsburgh would have tied it or won it or anything like that, but that seems to me to be a goal.
It's a huge.
And I don't know that it changed the series. I don't know, because, I mean, Washington is Washington had more points than Pittsburgh this year.
Yes.
They have home ice.
But after what happened the other night, if that goal had counted, they're down by one goal with
you would have thought
at that point, 10 or 12 minutes left, right? Doesn't everybody in the Capitals team say,
here we go again.
It does appear,
everybody in the stands does. I don't know about the team.
Has figured out how to score on Murray because all five of their real goals have come glove side. But now do you think Tom Wilson is going to be suspended?
I don't know. Charlie Wilson, I'm more concerned with. Why would Tom Wilson be suspended?
He had a hit to the head.
The Penguins were not happy.
DeMoulin, is that how you pronounce his name?
I don't actually know the players. I just know that
Pittsburgh's
playing
the Caps. I think it's the fabulous Moolah.
But it was great. Crosby had a quote that basically said, you know, they're going to look at this and given his history, I am going to, you know, suspend him right here and now.
Well, of course Crosby is. Well, it helps the team. It helps his team. What else do we have?
Mr. Tony, this is, I know, something you've had your eye on for a number of years, was the merger between T-Mobile and Sprint. That would be the nation's third and fourth largest wireless carriers, respectively. They apparently agreed to a $27 billion, that's billion with a B, merger yesterday that would dramatically...
Who gets the money? I mean, Who gets it? Does T-Mobile get it?
Who's merging into whom?
Who becomes the name?
The company is going to be called T-Mobile. So I would think that they're the alpha.
So Sprint's out.
Sprint would be out in this, yes.
And then we'd lose that kid who does the commercial.
He's gone anyway. He's on to the competitor, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I thought the competitor he went to was Sprint.
It was Sprint, yes.
Yeah, he did go to Sprint.
I thought he went to Sprint.
Yeah. Yeah. He's wearing yellow shirt.
The guy with the jacket.
Punch him in the face.
The guy with the jacket. So here's what I wonder about.
Like looking in a mirror.
Aren't these...
He does look like me.
Aren't these people...
Devil. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Aren't the ones, the big ones, aren't AT&T and Verizon... Aren't they way ahead?
Yes.
Aren't they way ahead?
Yes.
Because don't T-Mobile and Sprint offer to pay you if you take their bad products?
Right, yeah. And the whole thing is coverage. That's really what matters. Because you could get a great monthly price on your mobile phone, but if you can't call
it,
that's the ad.
We're only 1% behind them. I don't trust that ad. That's a bad way to advertise.
We're almost as good as the other guys.
Yeah, we're not quite as good, but we're cheaper.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
So I think their thinking is between T-Mobile and Sprint, if they could somehow convince LeBron to join them, that would be a new big three. Yeah, and then they really would be able to compete with AT&T and Verizon. A very scary story. Southeast Washington.
This is not what you want to wake up to.
Yes.
At the 6 a.m. news.
Yeah, this is in Congress Heights, about a half mile from the Anacostia Freeway.
Onyang freaking out about this today.
This is just creepy. Construction workers were renovating a ground floor apartment in the 100 block of Wayne Place, Southeast Washington, when they found a skull. I said, okay, well, that's...
Alas, poor York.
Exactly.
I knew him well.
Yeah, that was somebody looking for a
cask of Amontillado. I'm looking exactly where it is. It's basically right off of 295.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a woman who's been living there and has lived there for about a year, and she said, well, yeah, I've got to check this out now because I need to find somewhere else to live. I can't live here anymore.
Wait, she'd been living with the skull in her house?
Yeah, she didn't know. It was an excavated. Yeah, it was an excavated skull.
Okay.
So then police then found the rest of the remains, and then
more, not just
Saturday,
one person
recovered two more sets of remains in the backwoods. So that would be, by my rough math, three.
All women.
Yes.
All women.
All women. They've identified them as women. So here's. I don't think that I'm different than anybody else when I hear this story. The first thing I think of is, how did they die? Were they murdered? Were they kept as prisoners? How long were they there? How long were they there? And if you're going to get me involved in a cold case situation, this is the one, right?
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, you're a news guy. You sit with news guys. Isn't that the first question?
That's the first question. Mm-hmm. And the next question is, who lived there before she did, before this woman did?
Right, and are they the murderers?
Are they the ones?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what my head goes to immediately? That situation in Cleveland with the kids that were kept, the four women.
Yeah.
With
right.
three or yep. four women.
Yep. For years.
What was the guy, what's the rap song?
I forget what the guy said. It's escaping me right now.
What is it? Dead giveaway. That's right. Thank you, Andy. So you think about that. I think about that.
Yeah. I mean, that guy was barbecuing with other neighbors on the block.
That's right.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Inside, he's got, the Chamber of Horrors. No, so.
Ariel Castro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just thought of that. I didn't look it up on that.
But this is particularly scary to me. Particularly scary.
Yeah.
I find most things scary.
That, yeah, it's just, I mean, how would you like it if somebody went down to the basement to do some work down in the basement and said, oh, by the way, we found this human skull.
Yeah.
You've got anything to say about this?
You are creeped out.
Just check out the little house.
Yeah, the little house. You don't want to live there.
The little house looks like that might have happened there.
Yeah. I don't even go in the little house anymore.
When's the last time you were in the basement?
Oh, the basement little house. It's been well over 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what's in there now.
That's where the deer uses their staging operations.
Yeah.
And this is also a bizarre story. I guess this is from 2 years ago at a pool in Fairfax, Virginia. There was a guy who was the assistant manager of the pool, Polish, I want to say here on a summer program, Matuas Wajilkowski. I think that's exactly how he pronounced it. first of all, he didn't speak. He barely spoke any English, and he didn't know how to swim. So right away,
why is he running the pool?
Why not work at a pool
where people ask you questions in English? Because it's Fairfax, Virginia.
So I guess he also...
How did he get that job?
Seems to
Who
be,
owns the pool?
Seems to be some Lech questions.
Lech Walesa?
Lech, yeah, come
Terrific.
On
Terrific.
Yeah.
Good reference.
Well, that guy, that's a good one.
I'm an old guy.
Well done.
That's straight out of the Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
So I guess he was also...
Well, it's either him or Marcin Gortat.
I was going to say, how many Polish people do we know?
And Jaworski,
of course. So apparently he also suffered from some sort of mental health issue. Oh, might have been bipolar.
Sure.
So on his third day of work, this is just 3 days in, they say he began acting strangely. He started arguing with guests and talking to himself in Polish. After he ripped off one girl's wristband and said she could not enter the pool, a lifeguard called the police. When the police arrived, Fijalkowski ignored them and kept blowing his pool whistle. Police cleared patrons from the pool area. They brought a Polish...
When did that happen?
Like three days into the job.
Okay, it's not recently, though.
No,
it's
this
not
is 2 years
year.
Ago.
Yeah,
this
okay.
is 2 years ago. We'll get to why this is in the news right now.
Yeah.
So then they brought a Polish-speaking officer and his roommate, who also spoke Polish, and he ignored both of them. Instead, he kept shouting, "I am the lifeguard," and praying in Polish. Twice, Fijalkowski threw his cell phone in the shallow end of the pool and retrieved it. He climbed the lifeguard tower and blew his whistle. The third time he entered the pool, however, he just walks slowly into the deep end until he's completely submerged under the 8 foot deep water. Then he grabbed a vent at the bottom of the pool and held on for 2.5 minutes and then appeared.
Trying to kill himself.
It appeared to be trying to drown himself. The police held back until the 2.5 minutes until he stopped moving completely, because that's their protocol, apparently, because if they're thrashing about, they feel that they could be dragged under and potentially drowned as well. So
they wait for someone to basically die.
Yes, and then they hold him out, and then they perform CPR, and then emergency people came there with the defibrillator, and they were able to revive him. But now Fijalkowski is
suing
them for $100,000. Says that's his medical bills for not rescuing him sooner, I guess, is what he's saying.
Sure. Yeah, that seems fair.
I don't know where to go with this.
What?
It's so they saved him,
and he's suing them for saving him.
Yes.
Not saving him soon enough.
Because he needs the money to pay for his medical bills.
Yes.
Is he working now? Is there any pool that was going to hire him? Because I don't think so.
He's over at Columbia, actually.
Yeah, I would give him, you know what I would do? I would waive his medical bills. I would just waive his medical bills.
I think he's living.
If I owned the world, I would waive his medical bills.
He's now.
But it's a bad look to sue the people who saved your life.
I would think so. He's actually living back in Poland on medication and has not had an episode.
Oh, then I'd send him some money.
You know, we've got some subway gift cards.
We got $12 here.
Yeah, we'll send you
something.
There you go.
All right, we're done. That's good.
Yeah, sure.
You're done. That's good.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you that Bob Dylan is launching a whiskey line? Did you know about this?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be called Heaven's Doors
knock,
Spirits.
Knock, knocking on Heaven's Door?
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, I will come back and talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which the last time you heard me on this show, I didn't even know I was going because I wasn't going. I was not invited. I had no ticket. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
1, 2, 3. These are the Young Rascals, who later became the Rascals.
What are the names of the people in the band?
I'm glad you asked.
I don't know
Dino
if he knows.
Dino Danelli is the drummer. Eddie Brigati sang lead on many songs. Felix Cavalieri played the organ and sang lead on other songs. And Gene Cornish was the guitar player. Why, in terms of critical commentary, why are we playing this?
The Young Rascals.
They were the Young Rascals at this time.
Yes.
They dressed like the television show The Young Rascals.
I'm looking at the picture of the album cover.
Yes.
It's an odd look for grown men.
Ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Because on this date in 1966, Mr. Tony.
So that's 52 years ago.
This song hit number one for them. This is actually a cover.
They used to play on Long Island a lot in West Hampton at the Barge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Felix Cavalieri had heard the Olympics recording of this on a New York City radio station. He said, "Ooh, we should play this." And have you ever heard the Olympics version
of
this? It's very
but
similar.
But the Olympics did Western movies, didn't they?
I don't know that about
What did
them.
The Olympics do? Look up the Olympics. They had one big hit. May not be Western movies.
Oh, yeah, Western movies. There you go.
Oh, did I get that?
How about that?
Yes,
unbelievable.
I got that one.
Number
That's
eight.
Why I am half white.
Number eight, yes.
The brain.
Yes. The major difference
My
is...
My baby loves the Western movies.
...is the organ that the Young Rascals play. And who's on
Felix
the organ?
Felix Cavalieri.
Felix Cavalieri. And in the Olympics version, there's much more horns.
Okay.
But it's very good.
So let me get to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Leon, you have been many times. You did not go this
You're
year.
Not going to remember this. the first time I met you was at the White House Correspondents'
Dinner. I do not remember. Tell
me
about it.
No, you don't. You were walking, you were coming off the floor. I was coming in from, I guess it might have been the CNN party. I was walking in. You were coming up the stairs. And right. you gave me the Washington look over. You know how you do it here in
this town?
Who's that guy? Well, you're looking at me. I was on CNN at the time. I'm thinking,
I'm trying to remember.
I'm thinking, this guy, he's got to know who I am. I know who he is. And you were shaking hands, and you're looking right over my left shoulder the entire time.
I'm really?
Like, okay, thanks, dude. And then you walk off, and Whoopi Goldberg comes over and goes, Leon! I'm like, okay, so she knows me, and he doesn't. Okay, thanks a lot, pal.
Well, we've mended that fence, haven't we?
The good thing is Leon doesn't really remember it with bitterness.
No, I'm not bitter at all. I'm not bitter at all.
But you were not at this one.
Did I go to this one, though?
Okay. So I went, and Chris was there.
You betcha.
I did not expect to go to this one. In fact, I didn't find out I was going to this one until Friday. All right, Friday is the day before the dinner.
Yeah.
And I get a note from Bonnie.
Bonnie gets it done.
And Bonnie says, I've got two tickets and we're at a table. And I go, what are you talking about? And she says, well, I thought you wanted to go. And I said, no, I didn't want to go. I wanted the kids at PTI who've never been to be able to go because I've been 10 times and I'm in Delaware with my high school friends.
Right. It's always all about the children.
I'm in Delaware with my high school friends. Now, as it turned out, our weekend was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We played 18 on Thursday. We played 27. The weather was bad on Friday, so we couldn't get out till about 11 o'clock. We played 27 and then 18 Saturday morning. And they were all leaving Saturday morning. By 1 o'clock, they were all going back. You know, Pearsall was going back to upstate New York in Cortland, and Kerr and Plutzer were going back to New York City. Okay, so I did have the ability to drive back, and I asked Carol, do you mind if I do this? Because we were going to go to dinner. And she said, no, go ahead. It's really okay. And so I said, all right, I'll go to this thing. And I drove back. I have a tuxedo. This is not a problem. I had no ride down there. But Nigel was good enough to give me a ride down there. And I said, okay, I will go. And that was a mistake. Because really, for the first time in my life, I actually, looking around, I said, I do not belong here now.
Really?
I am too old. I looked around at these beautiful boys and girls who were in their 20s and 30s.
Thanks, Tom.
What? And I saw some lizard.
Right, and also what? Chris was there.
I looked around at all of these beautiful, beautiful young people who were really dressed up, and this was important to them, and I felt 100 years old. And then I got angry because I wanted to go to the Washington Post party.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm.
Because everybody said, you know, meet at the Washington Post
That's
party.
That's where we were going to rendezvous, I believe is how you say that.
Nailed it.
I wasn't invited to the Washington Post party.
What?
And that's no big deal.
Really?
But to get downstairs, I had to show not my ticket to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but something special. And I was stopped at the escalator. I was stopped by a young woman with dyed blonde braided hair. And she said, you can't go. And I said, really? She said, you don't have an invitation. She's doing her job.
But,
now I only worked there for 30 years.
So you didn't come up with it. Don't you know who I am?
Did not at all. Just walked away. Now, I was then rescued by Mary Jordan, who I worked with for a number of years. And Mary said, what are you doing? I said, I can't get down there. She said, you come with me. And so I was able to get down there where I was then introduced, is it Fred Ryan?
Fred Ryan.
Fred Ryan.
Publisher.
Right.
Formerly of Politico.
Who couldn't have been nicer to me,
and
I didn't bother to say, really?
Yeah.
You know, I
need somebody fired.
Really? So I didn't.
No.
So I went to the dinner. Let me tell you who was at my table. Because this this is not a good table, right?
It was the highlight of my night. Other than talking to
you. I'm going to tell you the names of three people who were at this table who were, in my mind, more important than anybody else who was in this crowd of 3,000.
At least.
3,000. Here's who's at my table. I'm not even going to mention Rick Klein, who I like a lot. Political
ABC.
Director at ABC.
Yeah.
Not going to mention Rick Klein.
I mean.
Dennis Eckersley. What do we know about Dennis Eckersley? Where is he? Where is he memorialized?
Hoff, but not Waff.
Yeah. Yeah,
Hoff.
He's
he
in
Hoff.
The Hall of Fame as the greatest closer
of
ever.
All time. Yeah.
Dennis Eckersley. Better even, I believe, than Mariano Rivera.
Really?
But arguable.
Okay, sure.
But certainly the first.
Yes.
Okay. Who invented that position? Wait. There's nine positions in baseball for 100 years.
Yeah.
Then a 10th was invented. Who invented that position?
Tony La Russa.
Oh, and he's at the table.
he looks so
Tony
good.
Tony La Russa is at the table.
He had his rings on.
He's at the table. And where does he reside?
In the Hall of Fame.
In the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And that's two.
Wait for
let me
it.
Give you a third.
Wait for it.
Who's the greatest third baseman of all time?
Kelly Oubre?
No.
Manny Machado?
No.
What?
No.
Brooks Robinson.
Number five, Brooks Robinson. And he's at that table.
Holy crap.
Yep.
I'm at a table with three guys in the Hall of Fame, and I can't get out soon enough. Because I'm crazed.
What?
I'm too old.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, I stayed. I said hi. We took a picture. I sat next to Eckersley. I talked at length with Eckersley. I liked it. I talked with La Russa about our mutual friend, Barry Weinberg. Brooks Robinson watches
you left?
The PTI
you
show.
You call yourself a baseball fan and you left?
I was nuts.
Oh!
And
it's like, and remember, it's
Brooks
like
Robinson, who lives on number 11 at Caves Valley, lives there. And we talked about that. And that was, you know what? I didn't want it to go downhill.
Right.
It was so good that after dinner, I left and I didn't stay for Miriam Wolf?
Michelle Wolf.
I didn't stay for her, but I've watched it since. I didn't stay. But how's that table?
That's pretty
good. What's the best table you've ever been at?
That's
three Hall of Famers.
That's pretty damn good.
That's three, right? Came over, hung out.
I talked to Eckersley about pitching. It was, by the way, Eckersley.
Good talk.
Awesome commitment to the same haircut.
Oh, yeah, he's never changed it.
He's a handsome man.
He's a big cat.
Is he
too.
Is he in his
60s?
Let's look. He's a big dude. He's lanky.
He does a lot of the games for the Red Sox.
I took his side against David Price.
Yes.
Said, what is this old man talking about? You go, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is he talking about? What are you talking about?
Eckersley is 63. He looks great.
Really?
And La Russa looks
great. La Russa's in his 70s. Brooks Robinson's 80.
How do you look?
He looked great. Yeah. I'm sitting at that table.
Wow.
At any point, did you wish he brought your glove?
Oh, so true. Hey, Dad, want to have a catch?
If I ever wanted to get autographs, I did. You know, I didn't.
No.
Did you use the old joke and say, "Now it's Dennis, right? Now what do you do for a living, son?"
No. So true.
No, I was thrilled to see him. That was. I've never been in a
table
like that.
I can't believe you left.
Why not?
That's as good as it gets.
That's his thing.
That's what I do.
You pull a Costanza. That's it. I'm out.
Yeah, right?
I saw Abby. I saw Abby was there. I saw Hal. Abby keeps saying, I know how to duck these questions. And I go, Abby, if I'm doing my job, you have to duck every single question. Yeah.
No comment.
Put me on.
No comment.
I saw Howard. I saw Michael Sands, Steve's brother.
That's right.
Saw Michael Sands. And
Mortician.
That was really good. Yeah, it was great. And I had, for the time I was there, other than my anxiety about being too old. And Chris will say, there are a lot of people come over and want to take pictures with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but
you didn't seem anxious. I mean, I knew your issues with the entrance to the post party. So I knew that we weren't off on the best foot.
No.
Because we were in text contact.
I was barred from going into the Washington Post party. Going down the steps. I only worked there 30 years.
I don't understand that because I wasn't invited.
Well, then, honey,
and I just had the White House correspondence
that's
thing.
All
I just showed it to him.
They wouldn't let that, me.
Plus, my handsomeness was my ticket.
All about confidence.
They probably thought it was the sprint guy.
Can we talk about?
Oh, Tom, can I give one? Can I give one quick shout out?
Sure.
I don't talk about it much, but I've lost some weight.
Have you?
And so I tried my tuxedo.
And you were swimming in
it. I tried my tuxedo on Wednesday, and I looked like a mafioso. And so I went in a panic. I needed a new tuxedo, and I went to I went to Jeffrey Lewis, 14th and 8th Street, right by where the Post used
to be. Got a tuxedo right away.
Greek-owned family.
Go for the blue one
business.
Or the orange one?
Midnight Blue.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Midnight Blue. Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's
they
the look
are,
now.
They are wonderful. They couldn't have been greater. Just wanted to give a quick plug.
Over
they
grand,
were wonderful.
Over 1,000?
I didn't buy it.
Oh, you just rented it?
I just rented it.
Oh, you stole it.
Oh, you, but everybody, a man should own a tuxedo.
Well, when I walked in, absolutely. I just took one from the rack and I walked out.
In this town, you have to.
I think you do.
You can't get through a year without having to use a tux about 10 times a year.
The issue for me was I just didn't know if they could get all the alterations done on a tuxedo for me in 24 hours. So I will buy one, but in this situation.
Can we talk about you stayed for the comedian?
I did.
It is getting very, very mixed reviews, ranging from this is exactly what she should have done to it was disgusting. And now the White House Correspondents Association has come out and distanced themselves from it. What were your thoughts? I
think it is weird. Yeah. Right. If you're going to hire a comedian, there you're not going to. And by the way, and you're going to tout as Margaret Taliaferro, who is my friend, who's the White House Correspondents Association president. She did say, "We love her, no holds barred." This is about Michelle Wolf and introducing her.
She did it,
and she's
then
outside
that's
of Washington.
Exactly what
and
she
then
gave
she
them.
Kind
that's
of gave you what no you, holds barred.
That's right.
Performance.
No, you didn't want it.
So my only issue is, and it doesn't have to do with her being hired. I am anti broadly. I like funny. We like funny. I'm anti low hanging fruit mean.
Yeah,
that's it.
Which
but she, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
but you know what? On top of that, this town has such thin skin, and this town has no sense of humor. I've been to that dinner. I can't tell you how many times I've been to that dinner, and I've gone there and I've watched the performances there in the room. And it feels completely different than when you go home and watch it on television.
You think it's funnier on TV?
When you're at home watching it from your own couch, it's hilarious. But when you're in that room, you can hear the sphincters just tightening. It's all you hear is...
I disagree. I disagree with that.
I've seen it. I've felt it.
I mean, I've been there the last 9 years. Like, I just don't agree. I mean, yes, are there humorless people? Yes, there are definitely humorless people. But no, I mean,
it's
I'm
a
there.
Room of 3,
I'm perfectly comfortable laughing at myself.
Because afterwards I hear...
But the idea that all journalists can't laugh at themselves,
I'm not
I think
saying
is BS.
All, how many people in that room, the 3,000 people in that room, how many of them have been in a comedy club in the last 5 years, do you think?
Very few.
Very
not
few.
Many.
Do you, except because that's not their
do
thing.
Do you think that she went... too viciously after Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
No, because I watched it, and then I went and read the annotated version of it in the Post.
Right.
She had one line about her. That was it. And the line was, it was about her...
It was about her makeup.
Her eyeshadow.
The smoke, using
burns
the truth and you turns
did
it into...
Did she go too hard on Kellyanne Conway?
I didn't think so.
Okay.
I didn't think so.
So it was an acceptable performance here. It's like the number one news story of the day.
I know.
Yes. Number one news story of the day.
I would just like to say that I am available. I was unavailable for the gig this year, but next year I will be
available. I've always
recommended
you.
Have you guys heard the one about Ovaltine that I did?
The comic stylings. What's the deal with the weather?
Oh, yeah. All right. That's my great bit.
So we're good. So I will never go. I will never go again.
That really?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you're not going to top
too
that
old.
Table. That's for
no,
sure.
No, not.
That's a drop the mic kind of thing. Yeah.
I hope PTI gets a table because we used to in the past, and it was very, very nice.
But you think the room's too young for you now?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah.
That's really so interesting it. Because that's it doesn't.
I didn't feel physically decrepit or anything like that. I just looked around and I said, these are my grandchildren now. I got to get out of here.
It's just funny you say that because I always think that room is pretty. On the older side.
Well, I was just looking at young
maybe
things.
Who you were
who
around.
Who is the Republican pollster who brought all these Hall of Fame guys? Frank Luntz.
Frank Luntz.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He was at your table, too.
He's the guy. He's the baseball guy.
Yes.
Oh. He's pals with all these guys.
Yep. Nice.
Very sweet. I saw him yesterday with... Did I see him with Chuck Todd yesterday, or did I see him with someone else yesterday? Hmm. I saw him. He was on a morning show yesterday. I thought... I don't remember. Maybe... Well, I don't remember. All right, we'll get out of here. We'll take some pictures with people who are here now, and we'll come back with a jingle and some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And now in full panic, I call the Washington Post.
Life is a mystery, but you need not be alone. Just place a call to Chris. At the Washington Post.
And a guy says, this is Chris. Hey, it's Kornheiser. And I have no idea who Chris is. Where is this game?
When you can't find the game, just dial up the Post. We're looking for a road. Just gotta call the Post. Will this rain subside? Or
cheapest noodles.
Kirsten Olmstead.
If wasn't able to help me, I don't know what I would have done.
Kirsten Olmstead, fabulous.
That was genius.
Let me just say this.
What's the guy's name, Gary or Doug or something?
It was Greg, yeah, I think. Greg. It wasn't Chris.
So good.
This is important.
Just don't try to go to their
party. I did something
parties.
Yesterday, which I never do, and I don't know how it is possible that this happened. Hmm. I have one of those Alexa devices that I use 100% of the time to just play music.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not every day, because I have to think to do it, because I don't even care. But I was curious as to when how old Brooks Robinson was. And I actually did this yesterday. I went, Alexa. And when you say Alexa, then the lights come on in a circular motion. Alexa, when was Brooks Robinson born? In less than a half a second, Brooks Robinson was born in 1937. How could she know that? How could it be that instantaneous?
Internet.
How could it be that instantaneous?
Always watching, always listening.
That's kind of how Google works.
Are you not amazed by that? This is voice. You're not amazed by that?
No.
That hamster was really moving on that wheel.
I had never done that before.
Lucky guess. Could we just say that on her phone?
How does that happen?
You were saying Alexa just turned on a lot of devices.
Oh, just if now you're listening in at people's homes?
Your own Alexa might be searching for it.
You know what
I mean?
That.
I mean, the moment I stopped saying born, Brooks Robinson was born in 1937.
If Alexa really wants to impress us next time, just be like, Alexa, what am I thinking about right now?
Mm-hmm. That's what she says. I was amazed.
She was reading your mind.
I was totally amazed by that. I don't know that I'm going back to that device because it was scary. Let me thank Will Bond for coming on today. Let me thank today's sponsors, Brooklinen and Squarespace. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Corners Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Emails, we are welcome for emails again because we were away on Friday. We're welcome for – we don't have that many emails. But, no, you're looking – Leon, you looked at me like I was an imbecile. So you –
That's what it does.
That quickly?
That's what it does.
I mean, how long quickly? Did you think it's would take? Like a minute?
It's called a computer.
I mean, you're an impatient person.
You know what I thought would happen? Huh. I thought I'd hear a voice saying, could you repeat that? I thought she'd stall for time.
Wi-Fi.
I thought she'd stall
could
for time.
Could you use it in
she
a sentence?
She would tap dance.
I was amazed. Honest to God, I was amazed. Steve Harold in Louisville, Kentucky. I like pizza sauce, spaghetti sauce, barbecue sauce, buffalo sauce, and whatever the sauce is that they put on General Tso's chicken. There are more that I like, but I want to give other callers a chance to call in. I'll hang up and listen now.
That's very gracious of
him. Steve
Harold, I'm partial to mumbo sauce.
Benjamin Bruner, a magazine and radio sports guy from the Eastern Shore of Maryland, the sports director at WHCP 101.5 FM in Cambridge, Maryland. Dear Dr. Tony, so Gary said last Tuesday that you can't make drinks, but you can make wine. I thought that was the guy on the other side of the street.
Huh?
Make wine out of water. Jesus.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
I didn't follow
Jesus.
That.
You needed Alexa
Jones.
For that one, Dad.
Jones.
Okay. Jesus Jones, I think his last name was.
Kevin Jesus. Deusing. I'm 26-year-old millennial out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which is near where the Shainers live. A year ago, while working at a work retreat in Chicago, I met a friend that went by Luna. While learning about her, I had a similar reaction to you when she admitted she was a professional cuddler. I was both confused and intrigued. Turns out they get paid very well and can receive tips, much like a massage parlor. It's completely asexual, and they have security that makes her feel safe if anyone crosses a line. She cuddles men and women, and it's more popular in men in their 20s and 30s. She will cuddle with someone for an hour in silence and then move on to the next one. And although the entire idea of it may sound ridiculous. No, it sounds creepy.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound.
Oh, it also sounds ridiculous.
Ridiculously creepy.
She is able to pay for her college doing this without taking out loans. By the way, how much for a t-shirt at Chatter? $12.
Just $12?
But with cuddling, $18.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Silent cuddling for an hour.
Yeah. From Rob Gilfillan in Bellingham, Washington. As you've recently renovated your bathrooms at Chatter, I need your expertise. I work in an office building that has a dentist office, an engineering firm, and an accounting office. There is a shared public bathroom used by all of the tenants. And once a week or so, when I'm in the men's room, I'll see some random guy standing at the sink brushing his teeth, who is obviously getting ready to go see the dentist. Who does that? Can't these people brush their teeth at home? Come on, man. What are we even doing here, man? What are you making of that?
So right. There is a person who will go unnamed at the Washington Post who used to floss
his teeth at his desk. Oh, come on.
You don't even... No good.
I mean, what?
What are you
that's
doing?
That's not a public activity.
No, that's just...
If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, everyone, do wear white.
Tony, what are you doing?
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Johnny sat alone. It was hard to sleep. Johnny's got problems, but Johnny's got big dreams. He could buy that boat and feel the ocean breeze. No need to stay here on his hands and knees. Johnny, did you think this would be easy? Just because you're back from on the ground. Johnny, there's a star. This is summer.